This is TWiT.
A new and especially virulent strain of ransomware is spreading across the globe, crippling the National Health Service, hospitals in the UK, and telecom companies in Spain. They're calling it WannaCry, WannaCrypt, WannaCryptor, WCry, and other names we couldn't keep track of. So we called
in. It makes me want to cry.
We called in Ian Thompson from the Register to find out what's going on. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Megan. How's it going?
It's going good for me. At last count, there were tens of thousands of infections in more than 74 countries. As we are fond of saying here in earthquake country, is this the big one?
It's certainly the biggest one in recent memory, yes. If you go all the way back to I Love You, I'm sure you got more infections there. But in terms of the effect it's had, it really has been quite devastating. Now, the majority of the infections have been in Russia, but so far 74 countries have reported infections due to this particularly bad malware strain. And yes, WannaCry, no patching, no cry. It's one of those things. But unfortunately, yes, the British National Health Service has suffered some serious problems. Telefonica in Spain, FedEx here in the US. But as I say, the bulk of the infections in Russia. And at the moment, it's spreading like wildfire because it's a particularly interesting form of hybrid malware. So you've got the basic ransomware package, which is, you know, what we're all well and used to. But then coupled into that appears to be worm-like capability, so that once it actually gets onto a machine, then infects all the available machines on the local network, all those machines that haven't been patched with the patch that Microsoft put out in March. And that particular patch was to deal with NSA exploits, which were released by the shadow brokers. And this malware uses both the NSA exploit to spread and also contains the double pulsar NSA backdoor software. So it's really quite a virulent package. What they've done is taken US government tools and used it to really beef up their malware in a very bad way.
So we've heard about the effect on hospitals, but you say most in the UK, but you say mostly it's in Russia where it's affected people and the Russian's Ministry for Internal Security. What's that?
Yeah, that was that. I mean, when this first came out, Twitter was just like, oh, it's the Russians striking back against the Western powers. It's like, no, the Russians got hit too. Apparently, we've seen some footage from the Russian Interior Ministry showing that they too have been hit. An awful lot of individual computers have been hit as well. And it does seem like the malware operators are sort of adapting this on the fly, as it were. Because initially the ransom they were demanding was $300 per computer, payable in bitcoins, of course. And what we've now seen is that, according to Kaspersky, the actual ransom rate has gone up to $600. So they figure it's so widespread, it's causing so many problems, let's up the ransom and see if we can't get more money in. However, it doesn't appear they have got a lot of money in the first place. Looking at the Bitcoin blockchains that are there, it only seems like they've reaped in about $5,500, maybe $6,000 so far.
Why set it so low, especially when you're talking about this many targets in the world of ransomware? What is the psychology of, because we see this a lot. I feel like there oftentimes when there's a ransomware story, I end up reading what the amount was that they were demanding, and I'm like, oh, really? That's it? Like, this is a lot at stake for such a small amount. Why is that?
Well, the whole principle of ransomware is that it's going to be more difficult for companies to actually get their funds back rather than actually just pay up the ransom. So they generally try and keep the ransom levels fairly low. $300, you know, I mean, if it's a choice between wiping your system and reinstalling from backups, then it's probably easier if you just pay the $300. If they up it to $600, then, you know, I think that's a reflection of the fact that this is spread much wider than first thought. Mm-hmm. But it's still, you know, it's a relatively small amount of cash because they're working on the principle that people will think it's an awful lot easier just to pay up the ransom at the end of the day rather than really, you know, go through all the hassle of getting your backups, making sure they're up to date, reinstalling the machine afterwards. So what they're trying to do is work on a sort of, you know, it's an inconvenience rather than a crippling disorder.
Got it.
It's like the reason why I buy a bunch of stuff at the dollar store that I don't need, or at Target, because I don't need to buy it, but it's cheap, so might as well.
The barrier is lower, so you might as well.
Well, we were discussing this in the office, and we thought, actually, you know, given the widespread nature of it, they could probably afford to drop the price and have more people paying. But it doesn't seem they've got the fundamentals of market economics going on this one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, that's why a lot of people will just, like, hit your credit card, you know, for $2 or $3, and they're doing it so widely that you don't notice. I mean, this is a little bit different because they're obviously noticing.
They're noticed. It's been noticed.
Right. It's been noticed.
It's ruined a lot of people's weekends. But yes,
yeah. So patient data has not been compromised as far as we know. That's what I read. But I mean, what are hospitals telling people? I heard they're telling them just don't come.
Yeah. I mean, British Prime Minister Theresa May put out a statement saying patient records haven't been compromised, but they have been encrypted and are unable to get hold of. So whether or not they've been compromised is kind of immaterial to the end result. Some hospitals are saying, unless it's a real emergency, don't come in. Some operations have been cancelled because patients' notes can't be taken down. It doesn't appear at this stage as though anyone suffered physical harm because of this. Although if your operation's delayed and it's a major operation, you conk out before the next appointment is made, then that could be a serious issue. But yes, patient data, it's not a malware aimed at stealing patient data and sending it into a command and control server. It's just encrypted it so that the doctors can't actually get hold of it. So if you've got a really serious emergency, you know, the lights still operate, there's still surgeons there, it's perfectly possible to do these things. It's just getting up-to-the-minute patient data. And the NHS does have paper backups for most of its records. So that's not as crushing as an issue as it could be. I mean, to be honest, the problems with the National Health Service, why it's got hit as badly as it has, is for the last 5 or 6 years, the government has been progressively starving it of funds as a precursor to privatization. And so a lot of their systems are still running on Windows XP. Now, they arranged a special deal with Microsoft to carry on supporting XP, but it was incredibly expensive. So it was cancelled in 2015 as a cost-saving measure. And a lot of machines still haven't been upgraded because doctors would prefer to spend the money on saving lives rather than updating their IT systems.
So then, all right, so their eyes are open now to what happens when you let your operating system go horribly out of date like that, especially when it's tied to things that are as life-threatening as taking down the operations at a hospital, let alone a bunch of hospitals. What is the next step? Is it for all of these places to upgrade their systems? Is it for them to strike a better deal with Microsoft and get those updates happening again? I mean, no matter how you slice it, it's incredibly expensive to protect themselves, but they need to do that, right?
They do, but let's not blow this out of proportion. This is one day taken out of, you know, the last, well, in the case of the National Health Service, the last 70 years of patient care. You know, something like this hasn't happened before. And I would agree with you utterly that this should be a major kick up the backside for the British government to start funding the NHS properly so they can afford to upgrade their systems. Now, Microsoft have actually been pretty good about this. They put out a malware patch, you know, within hours of this starting to spread. As we said, there has been a patch to stop the initial incursion vulnerability out since March. But it's just a question of, you know, we're seeing a lot of companies, not just the National Health Service, being hit by this. I mean, Telefonica, who you would think would be pretty IT savvy, have reportedly lost 85% of their computers to this thing. Now, if a telco can't update their computer systems, you know, I think there's a large pool of people out there who, unless they patched up properly, are still going to be vulnerable to this.
So we're not talking about, you know, government agencies or anyone, you know, the hackers. There's no confirmation that if you pay the ransom that they will turn over your information. Sure. So what are security experts advising companies and hospitals? Pay it or don't pay it?
Well, this is the age-old question when it comes to ransomware. I mean, the official advice from certainly the US government and the UK government is do not pay the ransom. But as we've seen with past infections, you know, where police departments in America have been infected by this, they've decided to pay up, which just encourages the ransomware people to actually sort of go out and attack people again. I mean, honestly, if you are infected by this, I would say hold off, because it appears, you know, with these kinds of ransomware, occasionally, security companies can crack the encryption. We've seen this with ransomware in the past, and there's no need to pay up, and you can still get the keys to unlock your data. The two absolutely key things that people have got to do. First off, stop clicking on attachments from people you don't know. It's security 101. And I'm sick of having to write stories like this because people are, oh, well, that looks interesting. I'll click on that. And boom, that's it. They're pwned. Now, the other thing is basically make sure you're fully patched and fully up to date and most importantly, fully backed up. Because if you're backed up, ransomware has no effect. All you need to do is wipe your system and reinstall from your backups. Now, I know we don't all back up to the level that we should. But at the same time, if it's a choice between paying these scumbags or actually just losing maybe a couple of days' data, I'd go with the second choice. Because if you pay them, it's only going to encourage them to do this more and more and more.
Well, Ian, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
It's even always so delightful and cheery.
You somehow managed to make even the worst security hacks delightful. And yet, like you said, this isn't. We shouldn't overblow it. Like when they use words like cripple and, you know, those kinds of things, we do have the tendency to just really scare everyone.
Who doesn't? But you know, right. I mean, it's one of those things. But yeah, you know, I mean, it's bad. It's not as bad as it could be, but it's still pretty bad. I mean, we were discussing this in the office earlier on today, and in terms of the effect that it's had and the eyeballs that it's got and the way it's got people talking, this is one of the biggest malware incidents that we've had in recent years. And it's ransomware, so it's particularly destructive. But we are going to see a lot more of this because ransomware is incredibly popular with the online criminal community because it solves one of the major problems, which is getting hold of the money. You know, if you're doing phishing scams and man-in-the-middle attacks, you've still got to hire money mules to shift the money, and they take the percentage, and they tend to get caught an awful lot. With ransomware, boom, you get it on someone's system, they send you some money, end of story. The one thing I would say, though, is perhaps the malware writers have possibly overreached themselves, because not only have they gone up against the Russian government, but they've gone up against, as I say, 74 different countries. So if they are looking to get asylum, you know, go to a country with no extradition treaty, they're going to have to be really, really careful because there's an awful lot of people really peeved at them at the moment.
Well, Elon Musk is looking for people to go to Mars, so maybe that's where they'll have to go.
Oh, I'd cheerfully send them there. I'd just leave the spacesuits behind.
Ian, thank you so much for coming on. Ian can be found at theregister.co.uk, where he's following this story, following the executive order on cybersecurity and the electronics ban debate, which will continue. And following other security stories as well. And he is at Ian Thompson on Twitter. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure. Have a great weekend.
Take care, Ian. We'll see you later.
Cheers.